fantastic to be here. I'm so excited to be back at a Sunday Night Live, and I'm so excited to be able to share a word with you tonight. They said they're going to share a brand new freshie. It's actually one that I've preached before a few years ago, but I've tried to freshen it up a bit. So if you've heard it before, I'm really sorry. But I don't know a lot of you, so you probably haven't heard it before. A lot of you are new since probably like 4 years ago. So that's really, really good. But it's exciting to be here. You ready? You ready for God to speak to your heart? Ready for God to move in our lives? Fantastic. So am I. I remember after Anna and I first got married, we'd been married for nearly 12? About 12 years. It's over 10 anyway. We're past the decade, which is fantastic. When we first got married, one of the things you've got to do when you first get married, and some of you, bit of a tip for you, so I'm heading down that road shortly, down the front row here. When you first get married, you've got to get your own Medicare card, right? And we were very excited to get our own Medicare card. We'd been on our parents when, like, finally we're kind of like adults, we get our own Medicare card. And I was really excited because instead of being number 5, because I was the youngest in our family, you know how they're all numbered. Instead of being number 5 on the card, I was going to be number 1. I was going to be number 1 on the Medicare card. I was very, very excited. So we jumped in the car. We headed downtown. We're very excited. We went into Medicare and we lined up. We finally got to the counter and we said, how can we help you? We said, we'd like to register for our own Medicare card. And the lady just looked at us. I'm thinking, what's going on? She's like, you want what? I said, we want our Medicare card. And she goes, this is Medibank. And I said, what's the difference? We hadn't realized we weren't even in Medicare. We're in like Medibank. If you don't know what that is, that's a private health insurance place. We were kind of on the right track. The amazing thing is my wife's a graphic designer. There's Medibank posters all over the place and she didn't even notice. So here we are standing in Medicare asking for something that they clearly weren't going to give us. So we had to leave there pretty embarrassed. And we headed down to Medicare and we got our Medicare card from them because Medibank didn't want to give us one. But I learned a valuable lesson from that. And the lesson is this, that, you know, so often in life, you can be after the right thing, but you're just looking in the wrong place. So everyone in the world, not everyone, the majority of people in the world are looking for the right thing in life. But most people are looking in completely the wrong place. Just like Anna and I trying to get a Medicare card at Medibank. And tonight I want to share with you a story of a guy from the Bible that was after the right things, but he was looking in all the wrong places. This man is known as the mighty He-Man of the Bible, Samson. We know the story of Samson, this guy, incredible strength would come upon him. God would move in this guy's life and his body would just ripple with muscles, just like some of you guys. His shirt would tear open is what I picture in just this explosion of muscles. He'd do these amazing things as God would come upon him. And that's kind of how we think of Samson, this great, mighty man of God. But the reality is, man, he made some stupid, stupid decisions. And I reckon if we can look at Samson and learn from him, it's gonna be good for us. We'll learn from his mistakes. I say to kids at school, I don't mind if you get it wrong, as long as you realize where you went wrong, and next time you can try and get it right. So that's what we're gonna try and do with Samson tonight. You see, Samson was a man of incredible potential. God had an incredible calling upon his life. God wanted to do incredible things. At this point in time, the Israelites were under the oppression of the Philistines, and life was pretty tough. They didn't have a king. They didn't have the king that they so desperately wanted, and God appointed these people called judges. And the judges were kind of supposed to be the leaders of the country. They were the ones that were supposed to try and lead the country to peace and safety. They were there to make decisions and these things. So Samson was called to be one of these judges. Incredible potential, incredible calling upon his life. But if you know the story of Samson, he dies. In sort of not great circumstances, basically. So I want to look at Samson. You see, the thing about Samson is that the mistakes he made, he was looking for the right thing. His heart was after the right thing, but he was looking in all the wrong places. So you're ready to go on a journey with me tonight? Let's have a look at Judges 14, verses 1 to 3. We'll start there. Judges 14, 1 to 3. It says, Samson went down to Timnah. Everyone say Timnah. It's a pretty cool sounding city. Went down to Timnah. There in Timnah, a woman caught his eye. Some of you are here like, yeah, I can identify with that. Some people here tonight that catch my eye. However, the problem was it was a Philistine girl. This woman caught his eye, a Philistine girl. He came back and he told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, a Philistine girl, and he's real smooth about this whole thing. He says, go and get her for me. Go and make her my wife. I mean, that's sort of how things happened back in those days. Okay. His parents said to him, isn't there a woman among the girls in the neighborhood of our people? Do you have to go and get a wife from the Philistines? Remember, the Philistines are their enemies. The Philistines are the ones that are oppressing them and holding them in captivity. And here's Samson looking to the Philistine woman to be his wife. But Samson says to his father, get her for me. She's the one I want. She's the right one. She's the right one. And so many people have said that in life. She's the right one. And they didn't realize that they were looking for the right thing in the wrong place. You see, the Bible says that in Proverbs 18:22, it says, find a wife and you find a good thing. There's nothing wrong with what he was after. It says that it shows the Lord is good to you. But the problem is this. He's looking for the wife. He's looking to the world to satisfy the desires of his heart instead of looking to the things of God to satisfy the desires of his heart. The desire of his heart was fine. There's nothing wrong with the desire of his heart. The thing that was wrong is where he placed it and where he started to go to and where he started to search. I guarantee this is not the first time he went to Timnah. I guarantee this is not the first time he let his mind wander to thoughts about the women of Timnah. It wasn't like one day he just thought, hey, I'll go to this place I'm not supposed to go and perhaps I'll find a wife. He's letting his mind and his thoughts and his intentions drift from the things of God. And all of a sudden he finds himself in Timnah seeing a woman that takes his fancy, telling his father, hey, go and get her for me. I want her to be my wife. I mean, Samson, what are you doing? He's supposed to be leading the nation. He's supposed to be the man of integrity. He's supposed to be the one that is setting them free from the Philistines. And instead, he's going and joining with one of them. What is going on? And we say, Samson, you fool. But don't we do this all the time? We got these desires in our heart, these things. And without even realizing it, we end up searching for it in the wrong place. And we're just looking around for this thing we want. And God is saying, hey, you're looking in the wrong place. Don't look to the world to satisfy your desires. You want to know how long the marriage lasted? Not even 7 days. Whoa! Not even 7 days. You see, what happened was his parents sort of organized the whole thing and they went back to Timnah, and in those days they'd have this big 7-day celebration. This big feast, this big party, basically a 7-day long wedding. And at some point throughout the celebration, they'd get married. I don't know when it was, but at some point by the end of the 7 days, they were married. But Samson, being a little bit smug, you see, these 30 guys, the Philistines didn't really trust him, so they signed these 30 guys to sort of gather around him and sort of hang out with him. And he told them this riddle. And he basically said to them, if you can solve the riddle, I'll give you 50 coats and full sets of clothes, but if you can't solve it, you give me 50. And these guys are like, sweet, 50 guys, we can solve a riddle. So he tells them this riddle, and by the end of day 3, they can't solve it. They're like, we got no idea. I mean, this is a real head scratcher. So they go to his wife and they say, hey, find out what the riddle is. Go and appeal to him and find out what it is. And all of a sudden, Samson has this new wife, this Philistine wife coming, and all of a sudden, she's not all that she appeared to be to start with. I remember watching an episode of one of those American, you know, the pawn shops where they go and they sell stuff and people are trying to get them back. Has anyone seen one of those? And I remember this woman goes in and she needs money and she tries to sell this gold bracelet or gold necklace or something like that. Or a diamond. Oh, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, she goes in and she says, hey, I want some money for this. And the guy's like, it's not real. She's like, what are you talking about? It's real. My boyfriend gave that to me. And he's like, no, I'm telling you, it's not real gold. And she couldn't believe it. She walks out. She gets on the phone. She's on her boyfriend. She's like, you said you love me, man. You give me this. It's not real. You said you love me. And she's going, and this is what it's kind of like here for Samson. His new wife's coming in and says, oh, you say you love me? You tell me the answer to the riddle? Oh, I'm so ashamed. You won't even tell me, your wife. And here's Samson. It says he finally got worn down. Oh, this wife. I've had her for like 3 days. And she's worn. She's not what I thought it would be. And he tells the answer to the riddle. She goes and tells these guys. All of a sudden, he's got to pay out 50 items of clothing. So you know what he does? He goes and kills 50 guys. Takes their clothes and gives them to them. And then leaves his wife. Not even 7 days. What seemed exactly what he wanted. The desire of his heart being fulfilled by this Philistine woman. It's what I want, he says to his dad. She's the one. And 7 days later, it ends in their split. Guys are dead. It's crazy. You think you've seen some bad separations. Whew. Unless 50 guys have died. Whoa. But isn't that just the way of the world? It promises so much, but delivers so little. This is not what Samson wanted. One time Anna and I, we ordered some pizza. From Pizza Capers. Who loves Pizza Capers? We ordered some pizza from Pizza Capers down on Hume Street. And I said to Anna, are you right with me telling this story again? She said, I wouldn't have come if I knew you were telling the story. Anyway, so we ordered these Pizza Capers. We went down to pick it up. We got there and the car park was really, really busy. The shop was really busy. I said to Anna, it's all right. I'll drop you off. I'll go and find a park and then I'll come back and we'll get this pizza. So I drop her off, she goes in, I go around the corner, I park, I come back around, and I go into Pizza Capers, and I'm like, she's not here. I'm looking around. Where is she? I'm like, has she been taken? What's going on? So I walk back out, and next door is Nando's. Anna's standing in Nando's, in line, looking very confused. Looking at the menu. I tell you what, she's lucky it was busy. Because she was still in line by the time I found her. And I'm standing there, and here I go in and I say, you're in Nando's. We're supposed to be at Pizza Capers. So I take her back out. And I thought, I could just stand back and watch and see what happens. She goes up to the counter, I'm just here for my pizzas. Gets laughed out of the store. But I didn't. I came in like a savior. Scooped her out of the wrong place and took her to where she needed to be. But the point is this. You can be after the right thing. But unless you're looking in the right place, you're not going to get what you really, really wanted. Samson wanted something good, but he didn't actually end up getting what he wanted, and it ended in disaster. Let's move on. Verses 5 and 6. So I jumped ahead in the story, but let's go back. They're not married yet, okay? So he said he wants a wife. Verse 5 and 6 says this. Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother. So they're going down to sort of organize things to get everything ready. And when he got to the vineyards of Timnah, a young lion came at him roaring. And the Spirit of God came on him powerful and he ripped it open barehanded. Some other translation says he tore its jaws apart. The lion lunges at him and he just goes and rips it apart. bad day for the lion. But he didn't tell his parents what he'd done. Now we look at this and we go, man, that's incredible. Whoa, how cool is that, that God would come and move in his life and he rips this lion apart? That is so cool. But there's something really, really important we've got to understand. You see, Samson was born and dedicated as a Nazarite. He was dedicated as a Nazarite. The main thing that we know about Samson is he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. That his hair was the secret to his strength. And so he had this big long hair. He was like the Fabio of Israel. Do you guys know Fabio? Some of you are probably too young. He was supposed to be the most beautiful man in the cosmos. But Samson was kind of like him. He had this big long hair. But you see, the Nazarite vow had three vows. One was to never cut his hair. Another one was to never touch grapes or grape products. Now, Matt might be like, so what? Where is he? He's in the vineyards of Timnah. He's surrounded by grapes. He's surrounded by one of the things that he said he would never touch. On his way to get this woman from the Philistines, he goes through the vineyards of Timnah, and only by the grace of God is he not killed. We look at this as an incredible victory for Samson. Man, he did something amazing. I think the truth is this, is that God wanted to do more with his life, so God spared his life by putting great strength upon him, and he tore the lion apart. This is the grace of God, not just the power of God. As he walks through the vineyards of Timnah, what do you reckon he's doing? He's got to be popping grapes in his mouth, doesn't he? Surely. And as he walks along, he's in this place he said he would never be, looking for the right thing, but going to all the wrong places. And now he thinks, ah, man, God is in my life. This is awesome. And God's saying, you don't understand. I saved you. Don't you understand? You're still in the wrong place. God had great things for Samson. God had great success in store. But I tell you what, it wasn't supposed to be in the vineyards of Timnah. That's not where he was supposed to find it. He was supposed to find it in leading the people of Israel to freedom and to victory, not God sparing his life while he goes to marry one of the enemy. He's looking for the right thing, but he's going to all the wrong places. The question is this for us. Do we go to places we said we'd never go? Maybe not even physically, but in your mind? Do you let your mind go places we said we would never go? For Samson, he ends up there physically. I guarantee again, his mind went there years before. And as his mind goes there years before, all of a sudden, wandering through the vineyards of Timnah doesn't seem like that bad a thing to do. You hear what I'm saying? Looking for the right thing, but in the wrong places. Verse 8 and 9. Some days later, it came time for the wedding. He made a little detour to look at what was left of the lion. He's going back a few days later. He goes, I wonder what happened to that lion that I killed. I'm going to go and check out my incredible victory. So where does he go? Back to the vineyards of Timnah. Back to the place he said he would never go. And I guarantee he's probably popping some more grapes. He's probably like, oh, those grapes were good. I'm going back for some more grapes. He made a detour to see what was left of the lion, and there a wonder. A swarm of bees in the lion's carcass. These bees had made their nest in the carcass of the lion. And honey. He scooped it up in his hands and he kept going, eating it as he went. He rejoined his father and mother and gave some to them and they ate. But he didn't tell them that he'd scooped the honey out of the lion's carcass. Now, if someone gave me honey and told me that, I probably wouldn't eat it. Okay? But you see, there's a bigger problem at play here. I've told you the first vow that he said that he took was he'd never cut his hair. The second, he'd never touch grape or grape products. You know what the third vow was that he said he would never do and never get involved in? He said that he would never touch a dead thing. an animal that had died, he would not touch it. And here he is scooping honey from the carcass of the lion. Nothing wrong with the honey. Honey's good. But when you're scooping it from the carcass of a dead lion, for a normal person that's bad, and for Samson, that is terrible, and it's no wonder he didn't tell his parents where he got it from. Hey guys, look at this sweet, sweet honey that I got. Isn't God good to me? No, 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 Samson. You're going to a bad place, mate. You don't know the slippery slope that you are on. And here he is just giving all these things away as he pursues this desire of his heart in the wrong place. Honey's great. There's things in life that are great. There's desires that you have in your heart that are incredible and that God has placed there. But if we end up finding them in the dead, rotting carcass of the world, there's a problem. If we think it's okay to go to those places we said we'd never go, to be with those people we said we'd never be with, and to then think, hey, the honey's okay, you've got to start questioning, where are you located right now? You've got to ask ourselves the question. God wants us to have good things, but we should not be finding it in a lion. Yeah? God can give it to us. Do we trust him or not? God knows what he's doing. We trust God. Yes, the journey might be long, but I tell you what, it's going to be so much more rewarding. I guarantee that Samson would have preferred to find the right wife than the wrong one and end up in the way he did. He ends up not even finding a good wife at all in the end. For Samson, his life ended up really in total disaster. He ends up captured by the Philistines, enslaved by them, his eyes get gouged out, and he does one last mighty feat of strength where he crashes the temple of the Philistines down and kills them. But I guarantee that was not the plan of God for his life. God had bigger and better things for him. But here he is walking the slippery slope of sin, looking for all the right things in all the wrong places. And God says, Samson, I had so much more for you, man. I had so much more in store. Matthew 7, Jesus talks about whether you build your house on his truth and his word, and he likens it to building it on the rock. He says, well, those that build their house on the rock, when the storms come, when the winds beat against it, it'll stand firm. But those that build their house, same desire, I just want a house. I want somewhere to live. I want somewhere to be secure. But the one built on the sand, when the rains pour down and the winds blow, it crumbles. And it says the fall was great. Where do we locate our life? Where are we searching for the desires in our life? Where are we searching for the answers? I was stopped at a set of traffic lights the other day, and I was probably four cars from the lights, and it was two lanes. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this guy sort of walking down the footpath starts sort of walking across the first lane. I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's got his skateboard. He walks across and he goes to this white van. There's this white van at the front of the lights, like a white tradies van. I think, oh, cool. This guy's like, his mates texted him and said, hey, I'll meet you at the corner. Come jump in. So he goes to jump in. He's about halfway in before he all of a sudden jumps back out, slams the door and runs away looking terrified. I'm like, what is going on? Like, is this guy tried to rob him? Is he just trying to hitch a ride? If he was, why would he be so terrified? Anyway, he sort of comes back and he starts running down. I'm thinking, should I lock my doors? He's coming towards my car. He runs past me and I go, thank goodness. And I look in my rearview mirror. There's the identical white van behind me. And he jumps in that one. And I just think, man, his mates would have been laughing and laughing and laughing at him. What are the chances of two vans exactly the same at the satellites you're trying to be picked up at? But you know what? Isn't that like life? Which van are you trying to get in? It's true. He could have gone in that van and he could have tried to talk the guy around and said, come on, mate, no, I'm supposed, this is what it is, a white van. He would not have got where he wanted to go. And the question is this. In life, are you jumping in God's van? Or are you just jumping in some van that kind of looks the same and seems about right? This guy just wanted to get home. Great desire. Thank goodness he didn't like try and just go with this other guy. I don't know what would have happened. But he probably didn't want to go in the other van either because the other guys would have given him a pretty hard time. I want to ask you this question. We'll finish up. Where do you find your identity? Where do you find your security? Where do you find your peace? Hope. Everyone wants it, but where are you trying to find it? Joy. Everyone wants joy in their life, but where are we searching for joy? Everyone wants love. But where are you searching for it? Are you just jumping in any random van that comes along and looks close enough? Or are you stepping back and going, hang on a minute, that's not quite right. Are you like Samson where it's like, hey man, it looks good to me. I'll go for it. God says, wait a minute. You're in the wrong place. You're searching for the right thing, but you're not in the right place. When Anna and I went to Medibank, I could have argued with them all I wanted for my Medicare card. I could have written them letters. I could have phoned them up. But I was never going to get what I was looking for. Because it was just the wrong place. And tonight I believe God is challenging us. Where are we looking? Where are you trying to get your answers? Where are you trying to get your fulfillment? Where do you find your pleasure? And I reckon lots of us here tonight are like, yeah, my mind wanders to Timnah. And if we don't put a stop to it, we end up like Samson walking the vineyards of Timnah. And only by the grace of God do we survive. I'll finish with a final thought. As I was sitting down and preparing this last night, God just really spoke to my heart and put a question on my heart. And the question was, if he had these three vows, why was he able to defy the vows and go against them and still have the incredible anointing and blessing of God to do incredible feats? The thing that bends my mind, he was not supposed to touch dead things. The Bible says that at one point he picked up the jawbone of a dead donkey, directly defying the vow he took, and he killed 1,000 people with it as the power of God came on him. What is going on, God? How can this guy continue to do these things when he's going against everything he said he wouldn't do? And it's only when he finally gives away the secret about his hair that he loses his strength. He finally tells Delilah, this other woman he hooks up with. He finally tells Delilah the secret to his strength. That's the only one he valued. His hair was the only vow he valued. And I think the problem for Samson was this. Now, I'm not like a biblical scholar, so I could be completely wrong here. Do with it what you want. But I believe that his strength, the anointing for his strength, lay in the vow of his hair, which he did never cut. He stuck to it until that point. But I believe the other two vows were incredibly more powerful. I reckon they were related to his character. And because he divided the vows of character, he completely lost his character. And in doing so, put himself in a position where he lost all power. And that is a challenge. We look at the powerful. We look at those people of God that having, you know, they're up on the platform and they're doing great and mighty things. I tell you what, there have been hundreds, if not thousands of people where it's all come crumbling down for them. Some of the most incredible preachers of the world, some of the people that have done the most amazing works of God, it's come crashing down because their vows of character disappeared years ago. And eventually they're on the platform one time, or they're in ministry sometime, they realize the power of God's left them. The Bible says Samson didn't even realize the power had gone. He thought, I'll just do what I've done every other time. I'll just make God deal with this problem I've created. Let's not lose character. Character is strength. Character is what keeps you there through everything. And when we trust in God and we say, God, no matter what, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to find my joy, my peace, my hope, my security, my fulfillment in the right things, Lord, as I walk with you. And if Samson had have done that, imagine what he would have achieved. He could have let him out of captivity. I don't know. Let's just close our eyes. Lord God, we just thank you for your word tonight. God, and I pray that this word wouldn't just be challenging to us, but God would be inspiring for us to trust in you and walk with you. God, I pray that this would be a message of hope. God, that this would be a message that brings clarity to our life. That we would realize, God, I'm going to walk with you. I'm not going to look to the other things. I'm not going to walk through the vineyards. I'm going to look to you, Lord God. And I'm going to trust in you and those desires and those things that you've placed upon my life. God, I'm going to find them in you. And I'm going to find them in your goodness and in your grace. And Lord, I pray right now that as you speak to hearts, God, that you would show where you want them to find it. God, you would start to show the possibilities of your ways. God, I pray that we would live a life, Lord, of character in you, where we walk with you with our head upright, not going those places we said we'd never go, not doing those things we said we'd never do. And Lord, let your grace be upon us for that. And maybe you're here tonight and you would say, you know what? I don't even really know what you're talking about because I don't even really know what you mean by walking in God's ways. And you might be here tonight and you might say, hey, I don't know God. I don't know the goodness of God. I don't know the ways of God. I don't know what it means to trust in Him and walk with Him. But if God has incredible things for me, and yes, I've got these desires in my heart, if God has the answers, maybe you're here tonight and you say, hey, I want to start walking with this God. You say, I want to start being with this God, this one that you're talking about. And you know, the great news is this, is that when Jesus came to earth, he died on the cross. He did more than that. He rose back to life that we might have life, that we might have forgiveness. And if you're here tonight, and you would say, yep, I got desires on my heart. I've tried finding them in all places. It hasn't worked. Tonight, I want to walk with God and let Him fulfill that. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand up. Say, I want to start walking with God. I want to start following Him. I want to start trusting Him. I want to put my life in God's hands. If that's you tonight, for the first time, you want to start walking with God. Just raise your hand up in the air. Yep, awesome. How exciting. Anyone else saying, I want to place my life in God's hands. I want to walk with Him. Last opportunity. We're going to pray in a moment. But is there anyone else here tonight? Yep, awesome. Lord God, I just thank you for these people that have responded. Lord, I pray that you would stir in their heart. God, you would show them your goodness and your truth. And I pray every single one of us, Lord God, would just leave this place tonight just wanting to follow you and love you and walk with you even more. Discover the grand possibilities you have for us. If you want to open your eyes, we're going to say a quick prayer. We had a couple people respond tonight. So exciting. Isn't that exciting? We're going to pray a prayer tonight. We're going to pray it together. And if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this with everything you've got in your heart, believing that as you do, God is just going to heap love upon your life. He wants to walk with you as you walk with Him and show you the path to life. Let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.